All right, second beer. So I'm just gonna read through a section of this here. This is one of my personal favorite little sections. I find it very inspiring every time I read it. Sometimes it's one of those sections that, you know, I'll be reading God's word and I'll come across it. I'll be like, oh yeah, I love this, you know, and then you read through it. So I'm just going to start here in verse 1. We're going to read through to verse 11. Chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And then we'll go back through it again. It says here, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pretty awesome. So I was thinking about this, you know, we're gonna break this down a little bit, but this is a list of things that that Peter's instructing by revelation people to add to their faith or supplement to their faith, right? And I got to think about it. So in Ephesians, it encourages us, excuse me, to walk worthy with the calling that we've been called with. Is everyone familiar with that? If you remember, we're to walk worthy or in balance with the calling that we've been called with. And this is after all this great revelation of this amazing calling that we've been called to. And then we're encouraged to walk worthy or in balance with that calling. And how many in this room, get a show of hands, are capable of walking worthy of that calling without the grace of God and without God's help? That would be no. I'm glad you all caught that. Right, so nobody in this room. We all need His grace, His build, His ability, His working in us in order to do these things, right? And I only mention that because sometimes our flesh likes to get excited about things that it perceives could improve itself. You know, that the flesh likes to improve itself. And so you come upon a list like this that says, hey, supplement this to your believing. And the flesh can grab that and say, okay, I'm going to try harder. But that's not the point of what's being written here, and you'll see that. And there's definitely instruction of what to, of some things that Peter's instructing them to pursue after. But it's never outside of that understanding of grace, God being at work, and His help making this possible. It's simply impossible without His help. Okay, so let's start back at, we'll start here in verse 2. It says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Okay, I want to stop here. We're going to see this word knowledge. It's going to come up, the English word knowledge is going to come up more, but this word is the word epigenosko or epigenosis, which Pete has mentioned a few times, I think, in recent history. But it's an acknowledgement is really the word, to acknowledge something. Okay. And I looked up the definition. It just kind of helped me to understand, okay, what is acknowledge versus knowledge? And I can know something, for example, but an acknowledgement is, it's like owning it. Okay. I'll look at it from the negative side. Let's say I did something wrong. I might have known that that was wrong, but if I acknowledge that that's wrong, I have now owned that thing. Do you understand? So I've both accepted it mentally, but then I've owned it for myself. Okay. And in the same way, we're to acknowledge God and we're to acknowledge the things that he did. It's not just a head knowledge of knowing that the sky is blue. It's an acknowledgement where that now has an effect on me. I've now taken it and owned it personally. Okay. So it's pretty awesome. So you'll see this word, it's going to come up a couple times, three times to be exact, in this passage that we're reading here. So, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the acknowledgement of God and of Jesus our Lord. Isn't that cool? You stop and think about that. Grace and peace multiplied to you in acknowledging God and Jesus Christ our Lord. And then it says in verse 3, it says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay? God's divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. If you're looking for life and you're looking for godliness, God, by his divine power, has given us all things that we need for that. Talk about grace, right? So we're already starting off this list with understanding that it's not going to be by me and my flesh. It's by that which he's given, the things he's given, all things that pertain to life and godliness. And godliness is a great concept. You see it actually comes up a lot in Timothy. And I put together a little definition here after just reading all the references and looking up. But the word, it actually means piety, to be pious. And what it means, what pious means is, it's love and it's reverence for God with a result of obedience and devotion. Okay, so it's love and reverence for God with the result being obedience and devotion. And this word specifically, which is really kind of cool where it plays a role, is actually here, let me read this. I want to read this because you'll hopefully find this really neat like I did. In 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness, or the secret of godliness. And then it says, he, or which, was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up into glory. Now, what is that describing? Our Lord Jesus Christ. It's describing the gospel. It's describing what has been done. And it's Jesus Christ. That's the secret of godliness. And this word is intimately connected with that gospel. It's love and devotion towards God because of what Jesus Christ did. Because I understand there's a relationship now that we have to God through Jesus Christ. And the result of that is that I love him. I reverence him. Therefore, I obey him. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what this godliness is. It's a beautiful concept. And it's all through... some of these sections in the Word, you see it in Peter a few times. But God has given by his divine power to us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. Through the knowledge of him, there's that word again, the acknowledgement of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. And then it says in verse 4, by which, and you say, by which what? And it's referring to those things that he's given us that pertain to life and godliness. By those things, he's granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Okay, isn't that cool? We've become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that's in the world. Okay, so we've become partakers of the divine nature, and we've escaped the corruption that's in the world. And that corruption that's in the world is a result of sinful desire. That's where it entered. When sin entered the world, so the world became corrupt. You know, what's that verse, I think, in Colossians where it says that we've been delivered from the power of darkness? and transferred or translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We're now partakers of the divine nature. We've received Holy Spirit. That's one of those things that God has given us by his power. Isn't that cool? Receive that Holy Spirit. Now it's a new life. We've escaped the corruption of the world, and we now live in and by the Spirit of God. Isn't that cool? Life. Godliness. This is what enables us now to do this, to walk this way. So exciting. Okay. We've escaped the corruption that's in the world. Verse 5, for this very reason. And I love how God gives us, he always gives us that understanding of the reason. Okay? He's not just saying, do this, 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 and this. No, he said, look, I've given you everything. I've given you life. I've changed you. I've pulled you out of that corrupt world, out from under the authority of Satan, into the kingdom of my dear Son. And it's for this reason that we're about to read what we're going to read. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. The word supplement here is a word which means to supply. It also can be translated to minister, which I think is kind of a neat nuance of that. To minister something, to supply something, to add something. Okay, so we're instructed here, we're encouraged here. We've believed, right? We've become born again. We've received all those great and precious promises from God. We have this life in him now. Part of that, we're partakers of the divine nature. And now we're encouraged here, add to that faith or supply to that faith this word, virtue. Okay? Virtue, everybody, I think most of us probably know what virtue means, right? Virtue. Someone's virtuous. It's like moral excellence, you might say. But a virtuous person isn't just, or the concept of virtue isn't just not doing bad things. It's really greater than that. Virtue is going after the good things too, and God, I think it said earlier that he called us by his glory and virtue. Pretty awesome. So supplement or supply to your faith virtue, and then it says and virtue with knowledge, and you're going to see this figure of speech. It doesn't use the word supply, but you just supply the word supply, right? Because we're adding it on, and not any one of these characters or character traits in here, or these aspects that we're going to be looking at, not one is greater than the other. This is a list of things were to be added. And so you're going to see just some of the things that Peter's encouraging these folks to supplement or to supply to their faith. Virtue with knowledge. And this is just simply the word gnosis. It just means knowledge. You know, and you think about how many places God speaks in Ephesians 1, where he says, you know, that prayer that Paul prays, that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that you might know, that you can see and you understand the breadth and the length and depth and height, you know, whatever those are dimension-wise. This is God's desire that we would know. Pretty awesome, right? How many places does he say, brothers, I wouldn't have you be ignorant. I want you to know. You know, I want you to know what the score is, what my word says, what the truth is. So we supply to our faith virtue, that moral excellence, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control. Pretty awesome. Self-control, right? Because Jim's flesh is no longer in charge of this thing. This vessel is no longer under the charge of Jim's flesh and the desires of the flesh. I've confessed a different Lord, and his name is Jesus Christ. He's my Lord now. You see, and how beautiful that is. So self-control, I've put myself under the control of another, and his name is Jesus Christ. So his word holds sway in life, in decisions I make, and you know, the things we do day in and day out. And it says self-control with steadfastness, or another word that you could use there is patience. Steadfastness or patience, staying steadfast in the midst of things. And you know, sometimes the things of God, and it can be amazing, sometimes the things that God is working from our perspective, seems to take so long. You know, I think about the period of time between the last prophet of the Old Testament and John in the New, and you're talking, you know, 400 plus years there, you know, and to man, from man's perspective, what a dearth of time, really, with no word. And yet from God's perspective, he was prepping for that moment where he could send John, where he could send his son, Jesus Christ, you know, and, you know, just the things that sometimes our thoughts not being God's thoughts, you know, like Pete shared last Sunday, you know, the way we see things. So patience, have some patience. All right, where am I at? Verse, steadfastness. Okay, and then steadfastness with godliness. That's that word again. That love and reverence towards God resulting in obedience and devotion. And really, it's biblically, it issues from a belief of the gospel and a recognition of who Jesus Christ is. And godliness with brotherly affection. That would be brotherly love. You guys have a lot of that, right? So it's nice to be warm with one another, to hug one another, to treat one another with that brotherly love. And this is something that we're instructed from God's word to add to our faith. That's pretty awesome, right? I think you all do a fantastic job. I feel very brotherly loved when I'm here. And then brotherly affection, it says, with love. And that's that word agape, and it's referring to that love of God. That love of God is also to be added or supplied to what it is we believe. And again, who's the prime example of love? Jesus Christ, our Lord, who loved. What does Paul say in Galatians? He loved me and gave himself for me. You know, and having that real understanding and personal understanding of that, man, my Lord Jesus Christ, he loved me and gave himself for me. I acknowledge that. I acknowledge that. And then we're called here to add that kind of love. That kind of love that's other-focused. First God and then others added to what we believe in regard to God's word and this gospel. Pretty awesome. So these are the list. Let's just read through it again. From faith, we add with we supply virtue and knowledge and self-control, steadfastness or patience, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. And then it says this beautiful verse in verse 8 here. It says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, or in the acknowledgement of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that cool? I love this, because this to me is just, it gives me so much hope and also just encouragement. Because I really can't think of anything worse in life than being unfruitful and ineffective for my Lord Jesus Christ. Like that, you know, there's literally nothing else to live for. Everything on this earth is going to be rolled up and burnt away. It's not, nothing is lasting. It's the word of God that abides forever. You know, all flesh is as grass. You know, James says, what is your life? It's like a vapor. It's today, it's here, and tomorrow it's gone. And so, you know, for this short period of time that we have here, we have this amazing opportunity to be partakers of the divine nature, to walk by that divine nature, that spirit, to bring glory to God and to bring his kingdom here on earth. How cool is that? What better is there for us to commit ourselves to? There's literally nothing else. There's literally nothing else. And here it says that if these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love that. And then there's a little warning here in verse 9. And I love this too. It's so pointed. But it says here, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. You know, was he cleansed from his sin? Yeah, absolutely, right? Born again, maybe even, you know, born again, definitely born again, if he's cleansed from his former sins. you know, but if we lose sight of this stuff, of going after this stuff, we've just simply become so nearsighted, and that nearsightedness has a real mind picture to me of one who might be real focused on the things of the world, right? I'm nearsighted. All I can see is the things that are right here in front of me, whereas I have forgotten what's been done for me in Christ. I've forgotten my hope, which is perhaps a far off, right? Something that's going to come in the future. So this verse here in verse 9 is a great reminder of not losing sight of that hope that God has given us and not being nearsighted. And then it says here in verse 10, it says, "Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election." You've been called. You've been elected. Confirm it. You know, go after it. Confirm it by following after these things. "For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall or stumble," is the word. Isn't that cool? What a neat thing. If we go, you know, and so Peter is teaching this. And if you read on, you see that Peter is aware that he's coming to the end of his earthly life. You know, so he's got some things to share with these folks before he dies. And he's laying it out for them. And I think, you know, that's all the more just tender when you realize the context of him sharing this. We might even read that because I think we have time here. "Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For you practice these qualities, you will never fall or stumble." And then it says here in verse 11, "For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And this is a fun little play on words, because that word provided there is the same word as supply or supplement. You know, just as we are to supplement our faith with these qualities that we just looked at, so too God is going to supply to us this what does it say? So I better use his words. Yeah. Richly provided to you, or richly supplied to you, for an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that cool? So that's the main section I wanted to look at. You know, as you go on in this section, you see that Peter knew he was coming to the end of his life. And he says here in verse 12, "Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things." Isn't that cool? So he's writing the purpose. This is why I'm reminding you of this. He said, because I don't want you to forget this. And he wants to stir them up. He wants to stir this group of believers up. And I thought, well, what a neat thing. I like to be stirred up. I don't know about you. I need a good stirring sometimes. You know, and that's the purpose. That's why he's writing this. You know, so that's my intention too tonight in sharing this, is as because it stirred my heart up, and I hope that it stirs your heart up too. You know, remembering that this isn't an improvement of the flesh. These are things that that come by grace, by pursuing after God, and you know, we go after these qualities, but it's with the understanding that it's going to be God at work, and as we walk by the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh, and we you know, get to live this way and glorify God and not be unfruitful or barren in this thing. So with that cheer, I think I'm gonna finish.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. That, by the way, the walls of Jericho just came down.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what that is.